For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So let's open in prayer. We're going to have a bit of teaching in this area. And we're looking at pray in tongues and be refreshed in God. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. And Lord, we ask that as we look into this, that you show us more of yourself, more of your ways, that we be people of understanding, and that we operate in your ways continually and understand through you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this evening I want to start off by going through a very important doctrine, the doctrine of baptisms. So you can see right at the very top there, we won't turn to it, at Hebrews 6 verse 2, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms. Now, if I was to go to the average Christian, most people would know about water baptism, and they'd be able to explain that. They might not know about being born again into the body of Christ as being a spiritual baptism. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, because it uses that word. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 uses the word baptism or baptized. 1 Corinthians 12 13 talks about a spiritual baptism of when you're first born again, when you first come into the body of Christ. And we'll see that this is a different baptism from water baptism, and it's a different baptism from being baptized of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So 1 Corinthians 12, and we're looking at verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So clearly it uses the word baptized there, and we see that there is three components of baptism. We should all know this. There's the baptisee, that is the person who is the candidate for the baptism. There's the baptiser, the one that does the baptism. And there's the medium, into what are you baptised. The word baptise is, and we take it in the scripture here, to be full immersion in the proper religious sense. So here we see, if you're born again, then you are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. If you don't go through that born again experience, you will not be in the body of Christ. So you can see clearly that's a spiritual baptism, and that is for salvation. Obviously, being born again means you come into the kingdom of God. And notice that's got nothing to do with tongues. Okay, nothing to do whatsoever with tongues. There's many people who don't speak in tongues, yet they're saved because they've been born again, they've received Christ as their Saviour. As the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see very clearly that first baptism is a spiritual one. You're born again, you receive Christ, and you can see who's the baptisee, believers, the baptiser, the Spirit of God, the medium is the body of Christ. That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Water baptism, we can see, and I won't read that scripture, John 3:23, because we know so much about this, we've heard so much about it. But clearly, when a person is a believer, and the Bible tells us that you then need to publicly state that you're a believer, and water baptism is that statement where you're making a statement, I am now a believer, and you go into the water and you rise up. It's symbolic of you being associated with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're risen with him. So obviously the baptizee in this case are believers. The baptizer is another believer, usually a minister of God, and the medium is water. And that is a physical baptism. Notice that? That's a physical baptism. And then we see the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Luke 3, verse 16, because that's what I want to talk about tonight. Nothing to be afraid of. Some people are afraid of tongues and speaking in tongues. Probably because they've noticed that there are some people who are false Pentecostals and they get the baptisms wrong. They think that being born again, you have to speak in tongues. But we just noticed it's got nothing to do with tongues, being born again. And it's because they don't understand the doctrine of baptisms that they get this wrong. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very clear, and there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it. Verse 16 of Luke 3 says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. So there's water baptism. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. It's talking about Jesus. He, that's Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we see that believers are the baptizee. Baptizer is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is the medium. And so it's important for us to see the reason for that. And we see that in Acts 1, verse 8. Let's look at that. It's not for salvation, but for power, a power-filled life of witness for God. And we see in Acts 1, verse 8, the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's just look at verse 5, first of all, of Acts 1. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he's pointing to them being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 8 he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you can see that you are not getting salvation there. It's got nothing to do with salvation, although the blessings of God is all part of salvation. It's nothing to do with you being born again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about you receiving power to be a witness for God. And so the doctrine of baptisms is extremely important. And if you go across to Acts 2, verse 4, Acts 2, verse 4, notice what it says there. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's another term for being baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can see that there was this speaking of tongues with other tongues that came when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's important for us to understand that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there is this evidence of speaking in tongues. If you also look at Acts 10, verses 45 and 46, Acts 10, 45 and 46. So what I'm explaining to you today is what any Pentecostal Christian should be able to explain to people. They should be able to know the doctrine of baptisms, and then explain to them, well, being baptized in the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Spirit is for power in your life. And you start to speak in tongues when you're first baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then we'll see it in a minute, you continue doing that throughout your Christian life. It's like a tap has been switched on, and it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's different from the well of salvation, isn't it? Where there's a drawing of the water. Now this is a flowing of the Spirit of God and His power and His utterance coming out of you. And you notice in Acts 2 verse 4 when we looked at it, it said as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they did the speaking, the Spirit was giving the words. And look at Acts 10 verses 45 and 46. And we read here, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? Well, it says in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, and he goes on. Well, let's read what he says. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized in water, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So you can see that being, and right through the book of Acts, it talks about when people were filled with the Spirit, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they started to speak in tongues. And it's like, as I said before, a turning on of the tap. The Spirit is linked to power in a greater way than if you weren't filled with the Spirit. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, and I want you to see very clearly the operation of tongues. It must be a faith operation, okay, but it's also a love operation. We won't turn to it, but Galatians 5, 6 says, faith which worketh by love. So faith works by love. So if you're not operating in love, and there are some false Pentecostals who don't operate in love, and they come out in what seems to be tongues, but they're not operating according to the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So clearly, the word charity means love in action. So clearly, if you're speaking in tongues but you don't have love, then notice what it says there, you become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It doesn't mean anything. So remember, faith which worketh by love from Galatians 5, 6 is very important. And all of this is talked about in the booklet that I've written on the website called The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we see very clearly that the baptism of the Holy Ghost has nothing to do with salvation. It's to do with power and opening up your spirit to the power realm. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 14 now, and we'll look at verses 12 to 19. Well, look at verse 2 first of all in 1 Corinthians 14. Go from verses 2 to 5 here, because I want you to see here that once you are filled with the Spirit, and we saw in the book of Acts the evidence of that is speaking in tongues. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So clearly it's not unto men. And when you're speaking an unknown tongue, it's unknown to yourself. And it's as the Spirit gives utterance. We saw in Acts 2 verse 4. And you're speaking unto God. And if you looked in Acts 2, it talks about that they were speaking in tongues and they were giving praises to God. And verse 3 says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, notice what it says in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That means building up yourself. That's a good thing, to build up yourself. And when you're filled with the Spirit and start to speak in tongues, you'll be able to edify or build up yourself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So in a church setting, you can pray in the Spirit, and at times we do, like at the prayer meetings, for example. But there is an operation in the services, which you've noticed as well, whereby you can give a message in tongues and an interpretation. But that's different from praying in the Spirit, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. This is in the service. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So we see quite clearly there that there is a difference of using spiritual gifts in the church and using tongues when you are in your prayer time. And we go down and look at the time when you would be using it in prayer. Verse 14. So remember I said when you're filled with the Spirit, it's like a tap is turned on and your spirit can start praying in an unknown tongue. And that's what it says in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, you might say, well, what's the use of that? I can't understand what I'm praying. Well, if you think about it, who knows all things? It's the Spirit of God, isn't it? He knows all things. He can use you to pray for things you have no knowledge of in your own mind. In other words, it expands you in your prayer life. Now, obviously, if you wanted to pray for someone in need, you might be very limited to what you could pray in English about them. You could pray, Lord, bless them, help them, and so on. But you can also do something like, Lord, use me to pray for that person in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And you know the Lord knows that person inside out, and he can use you as a vessel so that you're praying with your Spirit. And as it says there in verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15 is a real key scripture here. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So what's your prayer life as a Pentecostal Christian? What should it be? Well, as a Pentecostal Christian, you would be praying with your understanding. It'd be in English. And we do that all the time, don't we? But you'll also pray with the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit. And as it says there, I will, it's an act of your will, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So there's a lot of benefits to praying with the Spirit. You can go onto the website. I've done a sermon on what are the benefits of praying with the Spirit, or praying in tongues. And there's quite a few of them. One of them, which I've just mentioned, is that you can pray beyond your understanding by just saying, Lord, use me to pray for such and such or about such and such. You know everything about that, and just use me as a vessel to pray for them. And you can pray a few minutes and perhaps even longer for a person or a particular event or something like that. So praying with the Spirit, or with your Spirit, is very important. If you go across to verse 21, it was prophesied of in the Old Testament. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So he prophesied about This is in the scripture we'll turn to in just a minute, in the book of Isaiah. There is a prophecy about the fact that there would be the manifestation of tongues with the people of God. And we see that it's quoted in 1 Corinthians 14, which is all about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and prophesying and so on. So let's have a look at that part in Isaiah 28, because it gives an understanding of another great benefit. Now, we've seen already two great benefits. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So spiritually, you're building yourself up. The other benefit was you can pray beyond your understanding. Okay, now if you look at Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, we see another benefit here. And that's the one I want to talk about a little bit today, is this other benefit here. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't be afraid of it. It's nothing to do with being born again, as some false Pentecostals might point to. It's just that they don't know the doctrine of baptisms properly. We went through that earlier, didn't we? You need to know the doctrine of baptisms so that you understand that being baptized in the Holy Ghost has nothing to do with being born again. But looking at Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, let's look at this. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." So we see another great benefit here of praying in tongues. It says, "This is the rest, wherewith they may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." There is a refreshing that comes, which will affect you mentally, it will affect you physically, and of course spiritually, because when you're praying in the Spirit, it's a supernatural event. It's a supernatural thing, because you're allowing the Holy Ghost to give you utterance, to give you the words as you are speaking in tongues. So there is a refreshing. If any of you have done this in any significant way, you will know that as you do it, you do sense and feel a great strength and refreshing start to come in and through you. And that's a very, very wonderful benefit that you can have by praying in tongues. So pray in tongues and be refreshed is what we're looking at tonight. We are people that must be open to this as Pentecostal Christians, because if we restrict ourselves, oh yes, we'll only preach about being born again, then we can't go further into the power realm where the gifts of the Spirit are opened to us, where we can pray in the Spirit, where we can get these benefits. I've gone through now three of them. It edifies you spiritually, builds you up, builds up your spirit, so that your capacity for faith and being able to be used in power is increased. It enables you to praise the Lord, as we saw in Acts 2, and also to be able to pray beyond your understanding, which is clearly a major benefit. And now we see there is a refreshing component to it. If you're weary, if you're lacking strength, and you're praying with the Spirit, you'll find that it's having an effect upon you. Praise the Lord. So we saw that that was connected into 1 Corinthians 14, and it looked back at this particular prophecy here. If you look at Jude, the book of Jude, verses 20 and 21, we see that benefit of being built up or edified and refreshed is explained here. Now Jude is just before the book of Revelation, if you're not sure. So Jude, And we're looking at verses 20 and 21. 20 and 21. So it says in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." We looked at praying in the Holy Ghost just before in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says, "You pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prayeth, but your understanding is unfruitful." Very big and important type of prayer. So you can build up yourselves, according to verse 20, on your most holy faith. If you want your faith to be helped, this is a great way of doing it, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice what it says in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We saw that people can be praying in tongues or in an unknown tongue and yet not have charity or love in action. And that makes them like a tinkling cymbal. Or, in other words, it's of no effect. They might think, "Oh, I'm praying in tongues, I'm speaking out in tongues." But the Bible says faith worketh by love. So if you don't have love, you don't have charity, which is love in action, in place, then forget about speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. But of course, the warning here in Jude 21 is keep yourselves in the love of God, because that'll connect you to faith and it'll connect you to being people that, as it says in verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So God does want us to be people that are building ourselves up. We've now seen several benefits. We've seen that you must be first of all filled with the Spirit of God, which is separate from salvation. Okay? And we see those benefits. We see edifying yourself. We read that before. We see praying beyond your understanding. It's a form of prayer and praise. We see that you can be refreshed and strengthened. We see here you can build up yourselves on your most holy faith, so you can connect it and build up your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we want to finish with Ephesians 5, 17 to 18. Ephesians 5, 17 to 18. Now, I know this has been a bit of a teaching session tonight. Of course, Tuesday nights are quite slanted towards teaching. Not saying that Sundays don't have a teaching component, they obviously do, but much more on a Tuesday night we go into some nitty-gritty stuff. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So God wants his people to be filled with the Spirit. He wants his people to understand, we'll go back to this, understand the doctrine of baptisms. Being born again is a spiritual baptism, being baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And that's done by receiving Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Water baptism, we know, is done by another believer, of one believer that's just believed into water. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you want to know where this is taken from, it's explained in the booklet that I've got on the website, The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so it's important for us to be people that understand the doctrine of baptisms. And once we come into being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we don't just say, "Well, that's it. That's it. I've been filled with the Spirit now. Now I don't do anything else." No, no, no. It's like that tap has been turned on. The Bible says rivers of living water can start to come out. So now you can start praying in the Spirit, with your Spirit. Now you can start partaking of a new realm of prayer, and that's what it all is what we've been encouraging you to do tonight. So let me just open it up. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, it's as easy as receiving the Spirit of God and starting to speak in tongues. That's not a problem. But seek the Lord. You can, as I said, read that book, The Baptism of the Holy Ghost, on the website as well. So let's close in prayer. I'll give an invitation if you want prayer for that, and we'll thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful benefits that you show us, even the benefits of praying in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that every person here be filled with the Spirit. We have been born again, and Lord, we know that you want us to go forward in the power realm. And I ask, Lord, that you show us all that we must be filled with the Spirit to go forward in a greater way in you, and to be able to pray in the Spirit. Lord, open us all up to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if you would like a fresh filling or to have prayer concerning this, please step out in faith at the front here and we'll pray for you. Not rushing you or anything like that. I'd like to do a bit more in looking into it. You can read and... Anyone? That's all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Impress upon us, Lord, the importance of this area, that we be people of prayer. We be people of prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Glory.